Here is the good news. It says, what we see now is like a dim image in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. What I know now is only partial. Then it will be complete, as complete as God's knowledge of me. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, meanwhile, these three remain: faith, hope, love. And the greatest of these is love. And finally, the message. It's a colorful view of these. We don't yet see things clearly. We're squinting in a fog, peering through a mist. But it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines bright. We'll see it all then. See it all as clearly as God sees us, knowing him directly just as he knows us. But for right now, until that completeness, we have three things to do to lead us toward that consummation. Trust steadily in God, hope unswervingly, and love extravagantly. And the best of the three is love. Praise God. God has a periodic table. It's called faith, hope, and love. There are three prime numbers that reconcile to God in his prime number tree: faith, hope, and love. And I look at that factor tree and I think of how many times in my life I've looked at my 42 level deep problem. You know, again, just loving God, just living for God. And is God smart enough to get me out of my level 42 problem? Yeah, but you know what he's going to do? You're not going to see 42 when you approach it with God. He's going to break it down. You see, 42 is a little too complicated for a simple folk like me. But I can handle a 2, and I can handle a 3, and I can even handle a 7. And God is going to take that 42 level layered deep problem, he's going to break it down to faith, hope, and love. And you're going to look, you know, I do computer programming too. Many of you know, and in my previous life too, it was my life totally computer programming, and I still like to keep a hand in it. It's just that problem-solving part of my brain. I enjoy it. But you know what? It's an amazing thing when you realize what God has given us to work with: faith, hope, and love. You can start problem-solving with faith, hope, and love. These three things remain right now. I'm seeing through a glass darkly. Granted, I know in part. Don't claim to know in full. But meanwhile, and for right now, I got three things to work with. I got faith, I got hope, and I got love. And no matter what my situation is, it's going to break down into these components. It'll simplify. So simple folk like us, not many mighty, not many noble, not many are called. You don't have to be a genius. But you're going to begin to walk in faith, walk in hope, and walk in love. And as we go forward this morning in this message, we're going to do a little bit of problem solving. We're going to take the elements of God's periodic table here and what I just simply call simplify: faith, hope, and love. Simplify. As we're ministering this morning, just begin to think about your complicated situations and things you're going through. And just let it takes the Holy Spirit to simplify, all right? This is why, praise God, we've got the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. Holy Spirit makes us a lot smarter than we are in our natural intellect. But the Holy Spirit can give us revelation and help us size up problems and show us where we can begin to break things down into these elements of faith, hope, and love. And the scripture says that the greatest of these is love. One of the things that you're going to find out, you know, just as you walk in the Spirit, and you begin to handle the things of the Spirit, of the Word of God, and the things of the flesh, is that you'll notice that the flesh tends to complicate. The Spirit tends to simplify. And the pride of man hates that. Do you know that? Human pride doesn't want it simple. Human pride wants it complicated so it can get credit for having figured it out. There's just something about the nature of fallen man. Simple, that's for late night cable TV watchers. Watching the religion shows or something like that. I'll tell you what, God's chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. There is going to be an element of you in your complicated situation humbling your intellect and saying, okay, God, you've given me three things to work with, faith, hope, and love. Begin to show me how to work through this your way. Show me how to factor this situation down into those prime numbers, because, you know, you have that complicated problem, but and you can see your 42, whatever your 42 might be. But if you're going to break it down into 2, 3, and 7, you got to believe in 2, 3, and 7. You got to believe in these factors. You can see that they're there. And this morning, we're going to believe in them. We're going to look at them and take them one by one. The element of love. The element of love. And again, as we're talking about this, we're going to talk about some different facets of love. Begin to think about this element of love as it relates to some problem solving. Breaking some things down into this amazing prime number of love. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The greatest is love. There's one reason why we're here today, why we're loving God today, and that's because he first loved us. He sent Jesus. This was nothing that he had to do. He was not obligated to do. It's because he so loved the world that he did what he did. And it was the love of God. One of the major facets of God's love is God's love to us. You know, and I love how Jesus said, God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I like to say it this way too. Jesus did not send the church into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through the church may be saved. Oh, this person, they're so mean. They're so hateful. They don't care about God or religion. They don't care about faith or anything. Boy, I'll tell you what. Love, the gospel, Lord of the harvest, send laborers into the harvest of this person's life. They need you. They need your love. Praying for people's salvation. Beginning to live. People who don't get you, you know they don't get you. And you know why they don't get you. In fact, you maybe used to be where they were, and so you totally understand where they're coming from. But they don't know where you're coming from because they haven't been saved. And you know they don't know where you're coming from. And it's frustrating trying to talk an old creation and a new creation. Not speaking the same language, boy, we can begin to pray. Pray for salvation for people. Pray for salvation for people in certain situations in your life. I'll tell you, you begin to do your part and to pray and lift people up with the love of God. Say, Lord, they need you. They need your love. What did Jesus say? He said, bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. He said, if you just love those who love you, you're no different than a tax collector, sinner. There's nothing different about you. But when you begin to show love, boy, one of the greatest ways you can show love, apart from just being nice and doing good, is when you begin to pray that love of God for their salvation. Pray for them to get saved, because if you're dealing with somebody who isn't saved and they get saved, you're going to be dealing with a different person, a new creation. Praise God. Another facet, as we're just walking through the prime numbers here, the elements of God's periodic table, Romans chapter 5, in verse 5, it says, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. New Living says, and this expectation will not disappoint us, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Praise God. I so love that. You know, in that first scripture, we looked at God's love to us through Jesus Christ. But here we see that after we got born again, it didn't just stop there. He put his love in us by the Holy Spirit. This is a very powerful part of this element. Not only does God so love me, but that love now lives in me. One of the things that he did when he made me brand new is he put his love in me to love with. That love in me is an equipping love. God's love is in me. Okay, I got my 42 hairy problem situation. Well, one of the elements that I've got, faith, hope, and love, I've got God's love in me. God can love through me, not just to me, but God's love through me. You know, I kind of like to almost do a fresh little spin on Philippians 4:13, you know, where we say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's exactly what the Apostle Paul said. But kind of think of it like this. I can forgive all things through the love of God that's been shed abroad in my heart. What can I forgive? What can't I forgive? Well, here's the question. What can God forgive? It's his love that's been shed abroad in my heart. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. That's my declaration when I forgive. It's his love. There's a lot of things, I like to put it this way, there's a lot of things that the love of God in me will forgive that my flesh would never approve of. But thank God, he didn't just stop at loving me into the kingdom. He put that very same love in me. We know we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. There's a love in us. Even when we just are angry and we're mad and we got our 15 spiritualized reasons for being mad and staying mad, there's something deep down inside that scratches at us. Ugh, it's that love. It's in there. And that love will not agree with hatred and bitterness and anger. It's like, yeah, okay. Yes, that love is an equipping love. You look a fresh pair of eyes at your situation. Well, I just can't forgive that. This is a very powerful element in his periodic table. This love can forgive. Scripture in Ephesians 4:31 says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice and be kind. If that wasn't bad enough, be kind and tenderhearted, forgiving one another. What does that mean? The love of God in you is capable of forgiving it all. Everything's going to reconcile back to faith, hope, and love. Now, you can do it your way. You might have a few of your own little elements in there that you've been working with. You're going to have to simplify. Remember, this is for simple folk like us. The 2, the 3, and the 7. I'm going to take that 42 and break it down. There's some people that I'm going to have to forgive to get through this thing. Yeah. Definitely. And I can't do it on my own. It can't be me, no longer me who lives. It's Christ who lives in me. I forgive by faith according to the love that's been shed abroad in my heart. Father, even as you have forgiven me, I forgive them. Even as you've forgiven me the $1 million debt, I don't forget about that $1 million debt. And I take my hands out from around the neck of my brother and stop strangling him for my $20 debt, and I forgive. It's a powerful element. It's designed for simple folk to get them through serious technical hairy problems. The facet of love. It's equipping. It looks like this. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith that I can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. That's a frustrating thing. Let's just stop right there. This is a person who's absolutely right and has scripture, and they're still not getting through. They sound like gong, gong, clang, clang. Ah, what does this kind of love look like? Bestow my goods to feed the poor, give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. It's not enough to just be right. You need this thing called love. What is this thing called love that's not going to make you sound like a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal? What's this thing called love that when you say the things that are on your heart, they profit and they move mountains and it matters and it blesses people? This is what it looks like. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy, does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. Love never fails. What a powerful promise to this particular periodic element. Love never fails. Now, before you translate this list into another list of 10 commandments of do's and don'ts that you have to do, that you have to keep track of, remember, the love of God has already been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. The ability to do this is already in you. You know, it comes natural too. Have you ever discovered that too? I mean, when you're just really man, you're in fellowship with God. It's not like you're even having to keep track of this stuff. It's just, it's from your heart. That love is in you. When that love that's in you and you're in fellowship with God and you're in fellowship with that love, you don't want to parade yourself. You don't want to be harsh. You have this intuitive sensitivity and understanding toward people. This love is in us, but it's also here as a guideline. And I thank God for this guideline. Because like I said, I've tried to add a few of my own little periodic elements without realizing it that don't require these things. That's the nice thing about some of our little flesh periodic elements. We can kind of have some resentment and hatred or kind of act certain ways and say, oh, no, that's not God's prime number. Ed, what you're thinking, that can be further divided. That's not a prime number. That can be divided into some forgiveness and into some hope, you know. You'll find that, hey, no, wait. This is, again, it's designed for simple people. I'm going to forgive some stuff. I'm going to have to, you know, and this is what it looks like. This is not 10 commandments of do's and don'ts. This is a guideline to keep, kind of like guardrails in a road. And when you're running those guardrails close, you can feel things rising up. Go, okay, oh, getting off the love prime number. Got to get back on track. You know, we don't serve in the oldness of the letter anymore. We're serving in a newness of the Spirit. And so God gives us these guidelines for our spirit to know, praise God. Another powerful element of love is not just the love to us to save us, but the love that He's now put in us, praise God, to equip us to love through us and show and demonstrate this kind of love. And then finally, I'd just like to say, the love that's for us. This is such an important part of that love component in God's periodic table. 1 John 3:1-2, behold the manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. I love this. He's basically saying, so can't see us. Stop. Behold the manner of love the Father's bestowed upon. Take inventory of what God did for you in Christ. Just stop and think about it. Think about how much God loves you. You should be called a child of God. He has done a work on the inside of you that's absolutely transformed your spirit into a new creation. Put the Holy Spirit and His love on the inside. You should be called a child of God. That's what He's done in you. Wow, it's an amazing thing. God's love for you. And of course, I just love this passage. So captures it for me. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, there are things that you're going through and situations you're going through, and you know, it's not this person's issue, it's you. You're frustrated with you. You're about ready to throw the towel in on you. Thank God for the periodic element of love. I can tell you one thing, there's only one reason I'm standing here this morning. It's because of the grace of God, because of that throne of grace that's been there for me in my time of need. It's not because I've lived a perfect, sinless Christian walk, but I've had mercy and grace to help me in my time of need to get back up again. I mean, I believe, I don't just believe God loves me that He sent Jesus. I believe He loves me now. I believe His love is there for me now. In all my imperfections, that there's grace and mercy to help me in my time of need. That He is not only a great high priest, but He is a sympathetic. He sympathizes with our weakness. He doesn't condemn us for our having weakness. He was in all points made like us. He experienced the human condition so that He could be a sympathetic high priest, tempted, understands those pulls, you know? And He says, therefore, let us come bold that we may obtain mercy. Hebrews 2 kind of puts that another way. It says that, you know, that He is, because He is able to run to the cry of those who are being tempted. tempted in all points. He gets us. He understands us. This is such an important part, you know, this element of love when we're going through our situation. Because if you've got a 42, chances are you've had it for a while. Chances are, you know, it's something you've been having to deal with for a while. And if you've had it for a while, chances are you've done some things right and you've done some things wrong. And so part of working through, you know, this hairy problem is just receiving God's love and forgiveness and grace, and stop beating yourself up and stop condemning yourself for the mistakes you've made. That's a big part of that love thing too. It's for you. It's in you. It's to you in salvation. It's through you by his love in your heart, but it's also for you now. He is a great high priest right now. I like to say those green pastures still, what he makes you lie down. He is going to shower his love on you. And you're there in that throne of grace, and you know you got this thing to do. And his grace is sufficient for you. I was watching with Caleb the other, just last night, we were watching The Return of the King. And there's a part in there right toward the end when Sam, his faithful companion, looks down at Frodo, who's got this amazing task of getting this ring to Mordor. And his heart is breaking for Frodo. And he says, oh, because, you know, Sam isn't the ring bearer. He can't take that ring. Frodo has to be the one to do it. But yet his heart is so full of compassion. You know, Sam's heart is so full of compassion for Frodo. He says, you know, Mr. Frodo, he said, I can't carry it for you, but I can carry you. And he just picks him up over his back and starts to begin to walk with him. And I'll tell you what, that's what the Spirit of God has said to me. God can't walk out these things for me. These are good works he's ordained me to walk in. I can't delegate to him what he's delegated to me. And even though he can't do it for me, he is for me. And he can give me the strength that I need to do it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Where do I get that strength to do it? Is it just the verse I quote? It's a place I go to receive that grace to help in time of need. Big part of this periodic element of love. It's a love that works through me to be able to forgive, and it's a love that continually works for me on my behalf. Mercy and grace to help in time of need. Aren't we supposed to just have it all together? No. We're supposed to go to the throne of grace and get mercy and grace to help in our time of need. And as you keep going there, you begin to learn some things. You begin to learn that he's faithful and just to forgive and cleanse. Never a doubt, never a question. Praise God. So that love is there for us. Next element, again, in God's periodic table is what we simply call the element of faith. And there's such a tremendous promise in the Word of God regarding the element of faith. And as it relates to promises, it simply says in 2 Peter 1, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given us all things, look at that, all things, this is a great periodic element, all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Well, what does this knowledge look like? By which, having been given to us exceedingly great, by which knowledge has been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these promises you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You know, there's some all-powerful facets of faith, hope, and love. I mean, one of the things we saw about love never fails. You know, all I know about love is if I will just keep stay in love, after a while, it's going to work out. Hope, faith, in love. The awesome thing about, you know, love never fails. The great thing about faith is in faith in these promises is that even though I know in part, his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. That means that no matter what my 42 is, everything that pertains to life and godliness is covered in here somewhere. There is some place I can turn in this word for my situation. You got to kind of follow the continuity of this passage. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. As his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through knowledge by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. To these promises, you can be partakers. A big part of that element of faith is knowing the knowledge of God and the promises of God. Jesus went through his 42 with Satan in the backside of the desert, fasting. Turn the stones into bread. Throw yourself down. Bow your knee. Worship me. What was Jesus saying? It is written. It is written. It is written. Another way you could say this is say it the way Jesus said it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration, correction, rebuke, that the man, woman of God may be fully equipped for every good work. Faith. There is an element of faith that covers everything that pertains to life and godliness. All right? Not your, you know, in principle, there is something in the word that you are able to have faith, to exercise faith in. Here's a great example I so love of a person who shows tremendous faith. And Jesus, this was a story Jesus told, really to inspire faith. And Luke 18, 1 through 4, it says, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Faith, hope, and love. There's this element of faith. Jesus talks about this element of faith. We see one, or we'll just say, I'm kind of talking about facets here. I mean, one facet of faith is the promise facet. There's promises that are connected to faith. Everything that pertains to life and godliness can be pointed in some way, shape, or form to a principle in God's word. But another important facet of faith in this periodic element is that there's a persistence in faith. A persistence in faith. And I just so love the picture that he gives of this persistent woman. And he depicts it and sums it up as a persistent faith. And says, when the Son of Man comes. Okay, this is talking about him coming back. So obviously this is not supposed to pass away. This is something that he expects to see when he comes back. All right? Can't dispensationalize this truth away. This is one that we have today. And he says, when the Son of Man returns, will he find that kind of faith on the earth? Will he really find that persistent, never giving? You think about this woman. What could she have done? She could have, you know, she could have asked the judge a couple times and then just said, well, this justice thing doesn't work. Forget it. But she didn't do that. She just stayed with it and stayed with it. And through faith and patience, she received justice. Having done all the stand, she just kept standing. A persistent faith. It's important as we talk, preach faith, not just to get the promise orientation of it, although that's huge. We need to have that. But we also need to have the persistence facet in faith too. Jesus was not applauding the scripture she was standing on here. He was applauding her persistence, not letting go. She knew she had the truth on her side, and she was persistent, persistent, persistent. You know, I almost picture this lady. I kind of picture this lady like the Mona Lisa. I should have probably had a little picture of the Mona Lisa up there. If you don't know what the Mona Lisa is, it's a picture of a lady. She's kind of given a blank stare. She's kind of got this interesting thing going with her mouth. And I think this lady had that. The devil throws everything at her, but the kitchen sink, including the kitchen sink, to just discourage her away. And he can't tell if she's ticked or if she's smirking at him. All he knows is she's going back to that judge, no matter what. There's something about a persistent, it just eliminates the emotional part of the equation. This, it is written. Jesus just said, it is written, it is written, it is written, it is written. I want that kind of persistence too. Devil comes at me, bag of tricks, roaring lion, all the suggestions of everything that could possibly go wrong to provoke me into fear. Just have that look. To where after a while he knows one thing for sure. God's given Ed House a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind, not a spirit of fear. There's a persistence in these things as you begin to walk them out. That element of faith is not just a promise, not just a drive-through McDonald's promise where you say it and pray it and why hasn't it happened. There's a persistence. There's a persistence that the Son of Man wants to see when he comes back to this earth. That includes the time we're living in. A faith that having done all to stand, just stands. Just stands, therefore. You know, and if there's something that needs to change, by all means, God, I'm open to the leading of the Spirit. If I need to change or correct it, but in the meantime, I'm just standing. Standing, therefore. It's a persistent faith. It's a persistent faith. And when we talk about, again, problem solving with the periodic table, with these elements, is there's going to be times when you've prayed what you know to pray. Well, great. What's next? Stand there for. You might stand on some things for years, but you're standing. Your heart and mind is in Christ Jesus. And one thing I can tell you about this thing, there's some things I know about this thing. It can't separate, this 42 cannot separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Scripture tells me so in Romans 8:39. Height, depth, power, principality, demon, 42, nothing can separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. So I'm just going to keep standing and standing and standing, knowing that love never fails and knowing that I'm going to have a persistent faith, and it is not going to pull me away from my faith in God. If the woman leaves just disoriented, she doesn't just, it'll disorientate her faith, her trust in God. But no, God has, this is a trust. Lord, my trust is in you. Again, I'm teachable, I'm open. If I need to do something different, correct me, change me, whatever. But in the meantime, this is what I know to do. This is what I'm standing on. And there's a persistency. A lot of times the enemy's just testing your persistency. Do you believe this? Galatians says, yeah, man, sow to the Spirit. Don't be weary in well-doing. You're going to reap in due season if you faint not. Stay persistent. Believing. 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 God is for you. And then, you know, finally, just a few scriptures that we think of faith, just another kind of facet of faith. For by grace you've been saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. We walk by faith, not by sight. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. That's an amazing thing. You got the world on your back? There's a victory that overcomes the world. The element of faith, the prime number of faith. If you got a world issue, it's a victory that overcomes the world. Tremendous promises. Promises, persistence, and a promise of victory that we have as we walk by faith and not by sight. And then finally, the element of hope. Praise God. I so love the element of hope. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Praise God. This is a powerful element that God has had to really tweak in my life. You know, there's times when you can get so oriented in faith that you kind of almost forget and lose track of what hope is. You know, you think faith, okay, I got to believe the scriptures, and this is what I'm believing, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But faith is the substance of things hoped for. In other words, there's a reason I'm standing on scriptures. There's a reason I'm praying, because there's a hope that I have. And I've had times where the Holy Spirit has checked me, you know, or You know, I remember specifically it was a pain that I was dealing. I can't remember if it was my knee or my leg or whatever it was. And I just thought, oh yeah, that's right. I believe God. God's will to heal. And I just remember kind of slapping the prayer on it. Father, I just thank you in Jesus' name. And by your stripes, I'm healed. Da, da, da. And all of a sudden, just kind of getting interrupted in my prayer. And the Spirit of God just saying, Ed, do you really see your leg whole and strong and healthy and pain-free? Or is your faith giving substance to an obligation to have to pray for healing because that's what you do as a word of faith type person? Or is your faith giving substance to a whole leg? Do you see it? You got to dare to hope. We live in a world that tells us not to get our hopes up. We're trying to do some emotional damage control. I understand it. I get it. But this is for simple folk. This is for simple folk who dare to hope. Hope is a good thing. Hope really shows that faith. Yes, I am hoping. Hope is a picture. It's a vision of what your answered prayer looks like. Okay, you're praying. You got your prayer answered. What does that look like? That's your hope. Resolution. Closure. Need met. Relationship, whatever it is, whatever 42 looks like when it's gone, what does the landscape look like? That's hope. There's three things that remain. Hope is one of those three things that remain. Sometimes we just want to be in faith enough and ignore hope. No, faith is the substance of things hoped for. God wants us to get our hopes up. That persistent widow had her hopes up. She was seeing justice. She had a picture of justice that couldn't be shaken. She had a strong hope. We gotta hope. We've gotta see it. We gotta see it. I remember hearing somebody saying, you gotta see it. You know, this is the way the Lord told me in my heart. He said, I gotta see it in my heart. I gotta see it before I can even believe in my heart. I gotta see it so I can believe it. So I can see it, the natural. You got to see it, but it starts out by seeing. You got to dare to hope. You got to see that vision of your faith, getting your hopes up. Praise God. And I'll just say this, that hope is a powerful, powerful, powerful force. And it's from God, and it remains, and it's for us. Depression is nothing more ultimately than hopelessness. You've worked 42 in your mind with your own periodic elements and your own prime numbers, which really aren't prime, and it's checkmate no matter what you do. And checkmate in the mind is hopelessness. You have no moves left. No moves left. But God always has moves. Love never fails. All things that pertain to life and godliness. But there's hope. I am hoping in the middle of a situation where I see no possible answer. I hope because hope remains. Let's get some practical aspects of why you can hope. Here are some powerful reasons. James 1:2-5. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing the testing of your faith produces patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. I'll tell you, there have been times in my life where it has been checkmate in the mind. And one of the, as I'm factoring it down, one of the great hopes that I have in my heart, I hold on to the hope too of promised wisdom. What's the answer to this? I don't know, but I've prayed and I've asked God for wisdom. And I know that he gives to all liberally and he's going to give me wisdom in the situation. Now, a lot of times we can miss some things because we think he's going to give me the wisdom that solves the whole thing. And a lot of times that isn't the way it works. He's going to give you wisdom to solve the next thing. And then when you walk in that wisdom, he'll give you wisdom to walk the next thing. And so we can't be looking for a wisdom that solves the whole thing. We just got to be saying, Lord, show me what to do next. And as you walk in that, he'll show you what to do next. It's a step by faith, walking out that wisdom. But there have been times where I just hold fast, praise God. Ooh, I'm not quite sure what's going to happen next. But I know I've got wisdom. promised wisdom on the way. And also the amazing promise of the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of us. These things I've written to you concerning those who try to deceive you, but the anointing which you receive from him abides in you. You don't need that anyone teach you, but that same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie. Just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. Praise God. There is hope. This facet of hope, you know, is because I've got the Holy Spirit in me. I've got the one who knows everything in me. I have cause to hope. I have cause to get my hopes up. I can pray. I can ask for wisdom. He won't withhold it. I have the anointing. I have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of me. It's not a matter about it being over my head. It's a matter of it not being over the Holy Spirit's head. And he will show me what I need to know when I need to know it. He's been sent to lead and guide me into all truth. And then, of course, this dovetails, too, into future. You know, we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. He's prepared beforehand we should walk in him. We're God's own handiwork, his workmanship recreated in Christ, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged, made ready for us to live. And Romans kind of works in tandem in terms of the Holy Spirit. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. You received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. We are the children of God. We've got situations in life, too. It's just that future. What am I going to do in the future? How am I going to know? There's just things out there. Thank God we've got the Holy Spirit who knows everything on the inside. He's been sent to lead and guide us in all truth. There's a peace. It's a whole message in of itself. How the peace that passes our understanding, it doesn't show us everything, but it just keeps our hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. And also that there is the peace that rules in our heart. We can get that sense on the inside of the peace of God that will lead us, guide us, and direct us. And so we see that there is an element, praise God, of that hope. It inspires faith in the middle of our trials for future situations. Also, the love of God. There's a love that's to us in salvation. There's a love through us that he gives us to love people. And then a love that's for us that comforts us in our situations. Faith, you know, that we have promises of faith, persistence in faith, and there's a victory that comes through faith. And then finally, hope inspires faith, trials, futures. One of the things that I just wanted to kind of say too in summary is just the fact that who we are at Door of Life really reconciles into this, faith, hope, and love. To me, in my heart, my mind, this is the pattern for this church. If you kind of read our mission statement, it's threefold. Helping people know the love of Jesus Christ. That's love. Helping the lost know his love for them, but also helping the believer know his love through them and for them too, as their great high priest. Also, you know, not just the love, but faith, learning how to walk in daily victory, overcoming things in our life. That's the faith part of our mission statement. And then the hope, helping people find and fulfill God's plan for their life. That's future. That's out there. You know, these are the things that remain. And when I begin to just look at my life, look at my situations, I've been challenged by the Holy Spirit in my very complicated situation sometimes, because it can get complicated with people's situations and things, but it will come down to faith, hope, and love. You can look at your situation and say, oh, I can't stand those two people. Well, we got two parts love going already, right up front. And you got a thing over here where I'm not sure what in the world I'm going to do there. How in the world can I get out of that mess? We got a couple parts hope going on there. You don't have to know how it's going to. You just need to believe that. You need to see that resolved. Hope. And faith. You don't know how God's going to do it, but I know one thing. That everything that I need that pertains to life and godliness in that 42 is covered in principle in the word somewhere. And you begin to take the precious promises of his word and begin to stand. Having done all to stand there for, seeing the answer to that issue. But things are going to break down. They're going to break down to faith, hope, and love. That's God's periodic table. Those are prime numbers. Those things remain. You can absolutely know that those are things we as believers, simple-hearted believers, not leaning to our own understanding, but we're leaning. We're leaning on him, acknowledging him. And these are the tools that he gives us to work with as we navigate through the issues of our life. Heavenly Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. I just pray, Lord, I just know this message this morning is simply some tools in the belt. But I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would show each person here, what it means and how to pick up these amazing, precious tools of faith, hope, and love. Help us to not be intimidated by that 42, to not be intimidated by that situation, but to really see it as you see it, to see it through faith, hope, and love, to break it down into some simple, smaller components that we can work with, that we can handle, that we can know that we know that we know. We're trusting you in these areas. Show us, Holy Spirit, lead and guide us. Give us that wisdom to know, to see the simplicity of the situations and the issues of our life. And to know, like we were just saying earlier this morning, it's not even close. You are far above all powers and principalities. You are so much greater than he that's in this world. These precious promises are so much greater than the lies of the devil. They have the ability to extinguish the fiery darts of the devil. When they meet head to head, the word wins and the darts lose. Oh, Lord, it's not even fair, equipment-wise. He can't come up against us except that which is common to man. Yet the weapons of our warfare are powerful through you. Help us, Lord, to see our situation through your elements, faith, hope, and love. Thank you for it, Father. We just thank you, Lord, for the wisdom now of the Holy Spirit leading and guiding us into all truth in these areas. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Praise God. Well, praise God. We're going to go.